Good morning, everyone. Good to see y'all here and excited to worship God and first day of the week. Ben, thank you for that song service, and it was really nice, and all the prayers, the Lord's Supper, and the thoughts that were shared there. It's a good day. Who is wise among you? Man's interest in wisdom goes back to the time of Adam and Eve. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, which is a very familiar scripture to us, and I'll just jump down to verse 6. And when the women saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So wisdom is something, I think, for all of us to say that we'd like to have and to obtain. Think about King Solomon at the time of the apex of Israel's history, the temple being built, and God comes to him and asks what he desired to have, and he could have anything. What did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. Wisdom why? To be able to judge his people, to be able to discern good and evil, to make the right choice. And that was the choice that he made. I often thought about us with the lamp and the genie, and we had the wishes. What would we actually wish for? Wisdom is certainly one of those things maybe we talked about in class that you can't see and touch. More of a spiritual thing. And so with that, then, certainly wisdom is very desirable. It is certainly a blessing. In James 3:13, I'll conclude in James this morning, but it says here, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Or some versions might say, who is a wise man and have understanding? He said, let him show out of good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. And then in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You know, Proverbs in that first part there really just talks a whole bunch about wisdom. And talks about wisdom as a girl, as you should desire her. That wisdom is being known as a female, that you should desire her like treasures or silver. And Proverbs goes on much to say. It's a really neat read right there. I came across a few different quotes that are secular in nature on wisdom. True wisdom comes from the overcoming of... True wisdom comes from the overcoming of suffering and sin. All true wisdom is thereof touched with sadness. Another one is, knowledge is proud that he had learned so much. Wisdom is humble that he knows no more. Lastly, all wisdom may be reduced to two words, wait and hope. And each of those are interesting to just think about for a moment. The Ecclesiastes writer says that the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And so the Bible has so much to say about wisdom, and it portrays it as something that we all need to achieve and have. And so the question then for us is, who is wise among us? Who is wise with understanding? And I want to begin this first part by considering and identifying characteristics of a wise man or a wise woman. And so my first thought to begin comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 18 and 19 here in a moment. But the first thought is, one who humbly performs the good works that reflect the wisdom of God. That would be a characteristic of a wise person. And in 1 Corinthians 3:18, Paul writes, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and they are vain. So it's the wisdom that comes from God. And it's knowing that wisdom and that we would humbly perform those things that reflect what God would want of us. So the more that we have knowledge and understanding about these things, the more that we want to humbly approach God and the works that we do on this earth that reflect His wisdom, not man's and what man has to say about it, but what God has to say. A wise man controls his lips. Boy, there is a whole bunch said about this little topic here. I was like, how many scriptures do I even throw on this? So here you go. I got a bunch of them. So here's some Proverbs for you. In the multitude, in Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips. In Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. And lastly, in this thought here, in Psalms 39:1, the psalmist says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle, with the wicked, while the wicked is before me. And so the wise man then controls his tongue. He controls his lips. Think how many things have been said that we've all said that we want to take back, but we can't. Right? The wise man pays attention. And even just things in our language, in cursing and such. In Exodus 27, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And just how many times there's words that they say, but when the Lord's name is being used in those curse words, man, that's some bad stuff. And so a wise man refrains from that. He pays attention to his language and the things that he says. Sometimes we get a little bit sloppy. And I've often talked about euphemism and words that we replace with another, but come on now. Are we not intelligent enough to have good things to say and be smart about how we use our vocabulary? A wise man refrains from railing, basically speak evil of. The wise man doesn't speak about evil of others. Paul says to Timothy, he is proud in 1 Timothy 6:4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, and so on. The wise man doesn't deal with that kind of stuff. That's not a characteristic of a Christian. What about filthy speaking? A wise man refrains from these things. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Right? The wise man's more concerned about the things that he says that helps in the kingdom itself, and uses those words instead of words that are filthy. A wise man refrains from hasty words. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. A wise man refrains from deceit. In Jeremiah 9:8, their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peacefully to his neighbor with his mouth, but his heart layeth his weight. And finally, in this thought, a wise man refrains from gossip. Leviticus 19:16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. And so a wise man then pays attention to how he speaks, what he says, to others, and how he can discourage other people. I think sometimes we could just examine just that part of our life. What are we saying? How are we speaking to people? How are we conducting ourselves? How much does the Bible say about what comes out of our tongue, out of our mouth? It's a serpent at times for us, and we have to pay attention. And so who's the wise man? The wise man's doing the good works that reflect the wisdom of God. He's paying attention to how he's speaking in his everyday interactions with people and his family. I mean, sometimes, man, we get sloppy even with our families and how we speak. I'm guilty of that sometimes. And there was no particular order here. I mean, this maybe should have been the first one. A wise man is one who wins souls. So the characteristics of a wise person is one who's concerned. Now, Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. How much time do we spend in even considering our neighbor, our family, co-workers? If I were to ask the question for each of you right now, what is the highest achievement possible for a human being? What would your answer be? The highest achievement that you could possibly even fathom on this earth, what would that achievement be? Bringing someone to Christ. Amen. A wise person wins souls. And that's something every one of y'all can do. Some of you I know aren't going to be Olympic high jumpers. I can just tell right now. I'm just throwing that out there. Some of you might, you know, I mean, it's just, come on. But that's one thing we all can do. Because God's, you're made after God's own image. And what did God want? He wanted you to save souls. So he's going to make sure every one of you can do that at some level. Don't kid yourself that you can do that. I mean, it's instructions that he's given. I love this. I mean, you can even turn to Ezekiel 33:8. I mean, this is the watchman. Ezekiel's talking about the watchman. He's talking about the trumpet blower. He's talking physically at first about just what was the deal of the watchman. If the enemy was to come, what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to blow the trumpet. And if he did and they didn't pay attention to it, the blood was on their hands. But Ezekiel says to the watchman and the trumpet blower, if you don't blow the trumpet, then the blood of them is on your hand. So where is the analogy with this? He says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So the wise man then is the one who's the watchman. He's looking around just to see what's going on. He's blowing the trumpet of salvation towards those. That's what the wise man does. And you know, I mean, just I'll just throw it out, Matthew 28:18. That's what Jesus wanted of us, to go out and to teach all the nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, teaching them to observe all things. What all things are those? Those are things from the Word of God. Man, we just get sloppy in all this stuff. He's teaching what God or Jesus, His Word, the Holy Spirit, all that was given to us. We're supposed to proclaim those. But man, we're so tentative on this. We're so not wanting to learn the ways of the Lord and His will for us, so we don't become wise in that sense. And we all should be striving to be wise. It's a good thing. And so we know then that a wise man then will win souls. The last instructions Christ gave on earth before ascending to his Father was such. The wise man is one who fears evil and departs from it. I was thinking on Daniel's wonderful lesson on pornography. Thank you, Brother Daniel. I enjoyed that. I mean, it's right between the eye kind of stuff, but sometimes we just don't want to talk about just the reality of what's around us. Too much patty cake playing around all the time, and there's real issues out there that are struggles. And what did Daniel say in that? You got to run from that stuff, man. You got to be fearful of it and just take off. Joseph was the example that he used. Potiphar's wife. Run, take off. And so Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Right? The wise man's moving away from those things. And 1 Peter 3:11, he must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. You're leaving one thing to go to the other. And those other things are God's wisdom from above and the knowledge that you have and how to take care of your business. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from what? All appearances of evil. So whatever those are, an appearance, what is he saying? That's what the wise man does. We're not wise on this one here too much. Oh, that's not a big deal. They know I'm not about that. Man, that's a real one we got to watch out for. People tend to have three different approaches towards sin. All embracing, little if any moral compass, unashamed, belligerent toward instruction or correction. You know of such people. Don't want to hear it? Leave me alone. I don't care. But then we have the apologetic, mildly embarrassed, somewhat troubled in conscience, insufficient self-control, unwilling to discipline himself. Right? I mean, come on. We keep doing the same thing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm all the way up. Sorry. 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 But doesn't grab on to say, man, I got to make that change. I got to run from that and I got to fix it. And I'm not trying to be, you know, overly humorous on that point. I'm trying to be as serious as I can, but it's true that we sometimes just kind of like, ah, sorry, and the word just loses any validity in our lives. Why even say it? That's, you know, repentance is where it is. You change, you do something else, you move on. And again, that's what the wise man's doing. I'm not saying any of this. I don't look at myself in areas I need to be. I don't want to certainly be all embracing. I don't think that's me, but man, I can be apologetic at times. We need to be actively resistant to this stuff. And that's who the wise man is. That's the wise man. Who is a wise man? One who hears and obeys the Lord. You know Ecclesiastes 12:13. After all that Solomon had to say, I mean, he says a lot. I mean, if you're trying to figure out life and trying to find happiness in all the wrong places, I mean, you just go through that book because he's going to go through all of it. He's already done it, been there, he's got the sweatshirt. And he's telling you, you don't want that sweatshirt. So what you need to do is you need to hear, you need to fear God, you need to keep his commandments, because that's our duty. That's the totality of our lives. Who is a wise man? One who hears and obeys the Lord. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Any man who hears my knowledge, anybody who hears the instruction which I'm giving you and is able to take those instructions and then use them in a proper way in this life is going to have a really good foundation. So when things get tough, because they will, you think things are tough now? You think things are tough now in your life? I mean, for all of us, you're going to have, that's just how it is in this life. I'm sorry, there's sin. There's other people doing actions and things around you that affect you. And there's just things that you're doing that affect other people. And it all deals with one word. It's called sin. It's called separation from God. It's called not keeping his commandments. It's not thinking of the other person who should be more important than your own life. That was Paul. Paul says, let me be accursed in Romans. He said, I'll take upon all the punishment just so my brethren, my Jewish brethren, would understand my sincerity by the message of God through Jesus Christ. And so a wise man, he hears it and he obeys it. How come we're hearing it and we're not obeying it? What's the problem? What's the problem? A wise man is one who hears and obeys the Lord. James 1:25, but one who looks intently at the perfect law. What's the perfect law of liberty? Nobody wants to speak up in a sermon, right? That's the Bible, right? The scriptures. 1 Corinthians 13, the perfect has come. So you look intently at what's perfect that will make you complete. And he goes on to say, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. This man's the wise man. He's looking at the word of God each day. He's looking at it as it's speaking to him personally or herself personally. Okay, I'm losing my vocabulary here. You know what I'm saying? We're looking at ourselves in the mirror, and we're looking at the word of God, and we're on with this stuff. So this is all the wise man. He hears and obeys the Lord. You guys know this stuff. I'm just reminding you and myself that we need to be paying attention, because we want to have the wisdom God grants us. The last thought just right here is one is a wise man. We talked about this Friday night at Joe's house, is one who prepares. So a wise man right now, you're all preparing. What are you preparing for? You're preparing because either you're going to die today or tomorrow or the next day, or the Lord's coming. Now, I don't want to mess up any trips you all got and plans and lunch this afternoon or anything else like that, or someone's birthday or whatever. But the wise man is paying attention to the big picture of life, and he's preparing daily for what's going to inevitably happen and be ready. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we're talking about the judgment time will come. And there's going to be some judgment that aren't going to be good judgments. You want your judgment to be good. Matthew 25, 1, Bill used this in his article. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flask along with their lamps. You know the ending of the story. Those that were ready for the bridegroom, done, great. But then those weren't ready. And so you don't want to have to be scrambling. You need to be ready. So there's no rushing. It's like, okay, let's go. Today's the day. Let's do it. But we don't think in those terms. In fact, our Bible study this morning brought all that stuff out about Paul. He wasn't fearful of death. He just wasn't. That wasn't anything that scared him in any sense, because he knew that if he left this place, now he's going to be with God. He'd be with Jesus. And that's what he wanted anyway. But he had a responsibility to do what? Because he was wise, to save souls, use the wisdom of God, watch what he was saying, all those things. One who prepares. The prepared man succeeds, and the unprepared man fails. What's the adage? I was trying to think here for a moment. Wait for it. The successful man chooses to do what the unsuccessful person will choose not to do. The successful person is doing work and being busy, and successful man's not storing up those acorns. Then winter comes. Ephesians 6:13, I thought about when I was doing this lesson, and that the prepared man takes up the full armor of God, so he'll be able to resist in the evil day and have done everything to stand firm. Our armor is part of our clothing that we should be putting on every single day. If we do that, we'll be ready. How does one put on spiritual armor when he wakes up in the morning? Maybe the Word of God, praying, talking to somebody. Let's go. We've got a day ahead of us. Pay attention. Because what happens as the day progresses? What happens? What happens when the day progresses? Things start happening around us. Some days are good days, some days aren't. What's your day like going to be tomorrow? I don't know what it's going to be like tomorrow, but I know if you wake up with your armor of God, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So I did this lesson up until this point to define. We're talking about what is wisdom, what is knowledge. So here you go. I came across these definitions I thought were pretty good. So let's talk about this a little bit and then go back to what we just talked about. So the definition of knowledge. The term knowledge simply refers to the understanding or awareness about a person, a thing, or a subject, such as facts, skills, information, etc. It is a state of what you know about a particular topic. It is the familiarity with different objects, ways of doing things, places, culture, events, facts, ideas, etc. So you can have knowledge about it. There's some atheists that have really good knowledge about the Bible. They understand the facts, and they understand it probably better than some of you do, to be honest with you. I'd be disrespectful by it. There's a bunch of atheists that have more knowledge of the Bible than you do. Knowledge is just an awareness of these things. You can have knowledge of whatever. Where's wisdom come in? Wisdom is wider than knowledge and intelligence. It's the quality of a person to think, act, or discern what is best, right, true, and enduring. It is the application of common sense, knowledge, and experience at the right time, the right place, and the manner and situations to follow the best possible course of action. It develops the ability to judge and make beneficial and productive decisions in life. That's what Solomon wanted. He was taking over the whole kingdom. He wanted to be able to make the right decision at the right time and be beneficial to his kingdom. And so if you think about that, then you're taking the knowledge God provides for you. And y'all, I'm looking around, everyone here is pretty intelligent. And then now you're going to be able to discern what is right, what is true. And then that's where your wisdom comes in. And then you have application. And so with that being said, then, we can go back to this. Who is the wise man? The wise man has knowledge of the word of God. And from that word, he humbly performs what God asks of him to do. That's the wise man. The wise man looks and reads in the word of God, the revelation of Christ to us in written format, and knows of all these scriptures saying, okay, I know I'm not supposed to talk this way. So the wise person then discerns and understands those things. The wise person knows to win souls. He has knowledge. He knows in Acts chapter 2 when the church was established what happened and what they did. He understands that we're going to be judged by the words of God and John. John 12:48. Is that right, Ben? John 12:48. Knowledge of what's wrong. Then the wise person flees from that. Discerns, makes the right decision at the right time. Hears and obeys the Lord. And prepares. See, y'all can have knowledge about all of this stuff. But if you're not doing it, then you're not wise. You're unwise. Then the word is foolish, is really what the word would be then. But I think about this for a moment. Thank you, Daniel, because Daniel was talking about this and the other day. He says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The Lord wants you to have lots and lots of wisdom. He wants to give you a ton of it so your cup overfloweth. But it's not something that is just going to be zapped into you. You have to work for it. Going back to Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom out of what? Coming from his knowledge and understanding of the Lord and his will. It comes from the Word of God, the Bible. Here's a quote. Wisdom is not the exclusive property of the very old, though the old are often wise because of experiences in the world, but through God's word, we all can learn to be wise. You see that? Certainly we have elders here. They all have gray hair, right? Been through experiences and situations and raised families, been married, kids. And so there's maybe a little bit more wisdom there. But even the young Bible student who becomes baptized into Christ is wise. And I'll finish with a scripture that shows that from that point. But the Bible has. And so now I want you guys to turn to James chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. And I'm going to end this lesson with kind of a textual study here on how the Bible reads out certain things for us in which we can be better stewards in the kingdom because of it. And we're talking about wisdom from above. And so in James chapter 3, in verse 17. Now, mind you, I had read 13 earlier, which we'll just jump up to. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? So the question's being asked. So he's saying, let him show out of his good conversation or by his good life his works with meekness of wisdom. He goes on to 17, he says, but the wisdom that is from, what do you mean, contrast? But the, because a little bit before that, he says, but if you are, verse 14, he says, but if you have bitter envy, jealousy, strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. That wisdom's where? That wisdom is sensual. It's devilish. It's the below wisdom. But he says in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality or variance, and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. James is describing the very characteristics, the various characteristics that will test us. That's going to tell us if we have wisdom that comes from above. And the first one he mentioned is being pure. having those contaminants removed. The pure life is clearly a life that is obedient to God's wisdom. Nothing shows wisdom more from below than a life of impurity. We are lying to ourselves if we think we have wisdom and understanding, but if we live impure lives, I mean, where's that wisdom coming from? If we're not doing all the things that God asked us to do, oh, God, that's too much. Well, I'm doing some stuff. No, it doesn't. God's not doing that with us. In our hearts are to be, God doesn't, it's just you're with God or not with God. There's no in-between on that. God never shows an in-between. In fact, if you think about it, it's the lukewarm that he gets the most mad at. Either be hot or cold, but it's the one in the middle. The one that says, well, I go to church. Come on now. Jesus had done all these things, right? In Romans, it says, you know, this is a reasonable thing. It's reasonable service that, you know, what all that God has done for you. What's reasonable? And so you don't have wisdom. You don't have understanding. Further, why would anybody listen to people who are leading impure lives? How foolish to listen to their instructions. Pure living shows godly wisdom. Impure living shows wisdom from below. And so he mentions these things. He mentions peaceable, gentle, and that easy to be entreated is really just means open to reason. Right? These are the characteristics that a wise person has. It's his disposition. And if we truly have wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above, it's not destructive, it's not unspiritual, and we're going to have these characteristics. But then he goes on to the second set here, where it talks about having full of mercy and good fruits. And so the Christian then that has that kind of wisdom is going to show those things. He's going to have compassion and mercy in this life for people. But what does he mean when he says it's good fruits? What are good fruits? Right? It's a life manifested with goodness of God. Coming here, worshiping God, studying. You know, we had a Bible study Friday night. I'm telling you, man, we can't say the Bible enough. Man, especially in a nice little setting where you're home, sit on the couch and the family, open the Bibles up. You kidding me? That's wisdomly thinking. Those are things that are good fruits and helping your neighbor and being a good neighbor. But then he goes on to talk about, in verse 17 there, about without partiality, without variance. Or the New American Standard says unwavering. So you're doing these good works and you're these good fruits and you have this mercy and you're peaceful and you're gentle and you're humble and you got it rolling on. But you're not going to be unwavering. You're not going to be jumping from here to there and all over the place. How many times do we do that? Are we flaky people or what? And we're all over, but wise and wisdom says we're not going to be doing that stuff. And we're going to be sincere, not without hypocrisy. We're not going to say something to do something else. See, this is what wisdom is. This is what he's talking about here. And then in verse 18, James says that when we have godly wisdom that's pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, you know, that open to reason means that you're teachable. How many of us, and I hope our elders are that way, is still wanting to learn and to be teachable still? What a great quality that wisdom has for us. And so we're unwavering, we're sincere, we're not hypocrites. And then we're producing what in verse 18? The righteous life that God would have us and demands of us. A life full of wisdom. So I conclude this lesson this morning. Which wisdom leads your life? Is the wisdom from above or below? Or just around how other people see things? And you're going, well, that just seems reasonable to me. It's easy to know which one you're following. Look at your life and your conduct. So I ask you right now, this is kind of just, what's your life and conduct right now in this life? What's your attitude about things? About godly things, about his word? Because that's going to determine if you are wise. But the first thing, I love this. Bill, I got messed up when I was putting up my lesson because Bill and I picked the same slide. So I picked the one that you had. I thought it was in my lesson and it turned gray. And I'm like, what happened to my lesson? Anyway, that's. But the fear of what. So just think about this. Think about the person who makes a commitment to Christ right now this morning. That person, by default, is what? Wise. Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because you understand the Lord God, our Savior, and you take action upon it. Then it's a good understanding of have a fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Psalms 111:10. So you, if you're here and you're not a Christian today, you can begin your journey of wisdom that comes from above by committing yourself to Jesus and alive in His kingdom and being a good steward and being a humble servant. And if you're here now today and been struggling, needs any prayers of the saints or whatever, just been struggling just with the day ins and day outs of life and haven't maybe put God first and really trying to take that knowledge and be able to discern those things between good and evil and good choices and bad choices. And, you know, certainly we can help in which way we can. So if you're subject to the invitation, please stand and come forward as we sing the song that's been selected.